and with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today Jesus continues what we were pondering yesterday about the way to become truly childlike so that he could rejoice before the Father about us, so that we could really receive all that he wants to give. This is the antidote to being like those in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. He gives us three verbs today, and each of them is a childlike verb. First is to come. We've got to move. We've got to be willing to heed him when he summons. That we're not going to be like those people in the marketplace, not moving, but just criticizing everybody else from one direction or another. To come to Jesus is the first essence of the living of the faith. That we're constantly at his calling, going to him, and he never ceases us to him. Second, well, let's just pause there. Not just come to me, period. It's come to me with all your labors and burdens. That the Lord Jesus allows us to have labors and burdens, precisely so that with childlike simplicity, we might not just come to him, but come to him running. When we've got problems, some of the times those problems are means precisely by which we can enter into Holy Communion with him. We see in the Gospel all the time that people have withered hands, people have paralyses, people have leprosy, people are possessed. And all of these were occasions for them to come into contact with the Lord. Sometimes the problems that the Lord permits in our life are permitted so that it might be a bridge to bring us into deeper communion with him. Yesterday I met with a young woman, daughter of a friend of mine, from outside of here. She came to me because she's been more or less obsessed by the devil. And there are various sort of little manifestations. And you know, one of the things that a priest always does in a circumstance like that is after we talk to them, and we help them to discern whether it's really a possession or if it's something interior and things. And in this case, it was objective that these things were happening to her. One of the questions that's always asked is, are you living the faith? Because in most cases, the person's not, even though the person believes. The person's not praying adequately. The person's not coming to the sacrament of the Eucharist in confession. The person's got some type of sin. My experience when I was in high school was, was a high school chaplain, was that a lot of the times the kids wouldn't pay attention when you were talking to them about the love of God. When you started to talk to them about some of the house blessings on Cape Cod and furniture moving all over the place to evade holy water, when you started to talk to them about the reality of the devil, that's when they began to recognize that they actually need somebody who's stronger than the devil. The Lord permits labors and burdens so that we can go to him to refresh us, to remake us, literally. Today in the first reading, we have the words of the people of the prophet Isaiah's time. O Lord, oppressed by your punishment, we cry out in anguish. As a woman about to give birth rises and cries out in her pain, so we were in your presence, conceived and writhed in pain, giving birth to wind, not to anything substantial, not to anything that brings us joy, but it seemed like wasted suffering. It's not supposed to be wasted. The Lord wants us to go to Him with our work. He wants us to go with our sufferings so that He can refresh us. Notice what He doesn't say. He doesn't say so that I can take them all away, but so that He can refresh us precisely through those labors and burdens. Second verb, take. Kids are always taking things. Taking their brothers and sisters' toys. Taking cookies without asking permission. I mean, we can go on and on and on. We're acquisitive by nature. But the Lord wants us to seize something. To seize His yoke. To seize it. He doesn't just say, bend down and reluctantly accept what I'm going to lay on your shoulders. He wants us to go after it. What's His yoke? Jesus used to make yokes in carpenter shops. It was what would harness two animals so that they'd be able to work together. Jesus wants to be yoked to us so that we do everything in tandem. And we know that His yoke, He tells us, is easy, so that the burden light. What does that mean? That Greek word for easy means tailor-made. It means fit. It's not somebody else's yoke. It's not somebody else's pair of shoes. It's a set of shoes that fits us perfectly. And because it fits us perfectly, we're able to work together, because it's not creating calluses and burdens and all the rest of it, because it doesn't fit. Jesus has a tailor-made yoke for each of us so that we are able to do everything in tandem with Him. And when we do, that's when we experience that our labors and our burdens are much lighter, because the love of the Lord pervades us as we do them. We know that that word in Latin for yoke, yugum with a J, to be yoked with Jesus is to be conyugum with Jesus, to be spousally united, conjugally bound. The Lord has called each of us by name, fit precisely for this unique relationship that we have, so that no matter what labors and burdens we face, we don't do so alone. Third verb, learn. Kids are always learning. They're acquisitive. They want to know. They never cease asking the question, why? The Lord wants us to be true disciples. He has so much to teach us. But at every moment He says to us, like He said to the apostle during the Last Supper, we cannot handle it all now. He sends the Holy Spirit to guide us to all truth. But to be a Christian is to be constantly learning from the Lord. We're never going to master everything that He says. We've always got to go hungry for what He wishes to impart. But Jesus doesn't say, and learn from me the commandments. Doesn't say, learn from me more and more about this, that, or another thing. In Greek, there's no from. Just take my yoke upon you and learn me. Then He wants us, in particular, to learn two things that will help us to become childlike. For I am meek and humble of heart. Jesus wants us to learn His meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is extraordinary strength that doesn't have to flex its muscles. I love to say that meekness is like Michael Jordan in the air with a basketball in his hands, where he's able to contort his body off the ground in all types of ways to still score. For some strange reason, that hits Sister Elizabeth Grace very much. I don't know if she was a basketball player or if she used to wear Air Jordans or whatever else, only God knows. But nevertheless, it's a black belt in karate. When somebody comes on out to pick a fight, doesn't have to teach the person a lesson, because the person has nothing to prove to somebody on the outside, because they know who they are. And as children of God, we're called to be meek. meek like Jesus when he was being interrogated by Pontius Pilate. He said, in a moment's notice, I could call down a whole legion of angels. He didn't have to. He was on the cross when people were mocking him. He could have come down from that cross and imparted something that would have filled them with shame for the rest of their life. He didn't need to. Jesus, in particular, wants us, as we're yoked to him spousally, to learn this type of strength. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is incredible power that uses its strength precisely to serve and to love. And humility, Jesus wants us to become humble, not just in action, not just in reputation, but to be humble in heart. This is an extraordinary thing for him. His divine majesty in human flesh was humble, not exalted. Humble in the way that he served out of love, washing feet. Humble in the way he endured all his labors and burdens. But humble even in what he said. You know, there are a lot of things that Jesus said that on the surface don't seem humble because we have a different idea of what humility is. I think most of us have a pretension in terms of what humility is. That humility is more or less that we pretend that we're not great. Not great by our own power, but great by the Lord's own exaltation. When Jesus was, for example, castigating the people who rejected him, he said, "For you have a greater than Jonah here. You have a greater than Solomon here. The Father and I are one." Jesus said so many statements with humility of heart that would seem to be contradictions to humility. But they're not, because humility is seeing who we are truly in God's eyes. Yes, we clearly see our weaknesses. We see as children the many ways that we absolutely need to grow in order to become like the Lord. But we don't pretend as if we don't have the gifts. It's a total failure of humility to pretend as if we're not great. Mary's humble words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Extraordinary words, because they were true. She was saying it not proudly, but humbly, because the Almighty, in his great goodness, has done great things for me. Our humility leads us to appreciate all the gifts. For us to be a humble child learning Christ, it's for us to rejoice in our divine filiation as much as he did. And this is really countercultural. It's really countercultural. For us to constantly be praising the Lord for the magnitude of his gifts, and to praise him for blessing us with those gifts in a way that leads us to become more like God rather than proud. This is the way that we will find rest for ourselves. When we spousally unite ourselves to the Lord and learn from him, in particular, his meek strength and his humble gratitude. The way the Lord wants us to come to him, to yoke ourselves to him, and to learn from him most happens here at Mass. He's constantly summoning us to him. This is the spousal consummation of the union he wishes. It's through this that we become humble, listening to the Master as he teaches. And then, in parallel to his humility in hiding himself under simple elements, to recognize that this is our Savior. if we can recognize him here, then we can see that he can be present even in our flesh and even in others. And we can go yoke to him to help lighten and make easier their burdens by introducing them to Christ so that they might live this world and forever similarly in tandem.